We just celebrated Easter Sunday this past Sunday, and it was an awesome day. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And, you know, the world has their ideas of what Easter is all about, right? The world, those who are non-believers, they think, they teach their kids that it's about bunnies and eggs and that sort of a thing, but it's not. We know what the real reason behind the Easter season is, right? What is the reason for the Easter season? Here in America, around the world, not in America only, but around the world. It's celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave over 2,000 years ago. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that the power that God demonstrated in raising Jesus Christ from the dead, from the grave 2,000 years ago, is the same power God wants you to experience in your life today. Resurrection-like power, miraculous power, the dunamis power of God. That's according to Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 20. And God wants to bring life, resurrection, to any part of your life, your existence today that might feel dead. You might feel dead in some part of your life today, in your mind, in your emotions, in your finances, in your relationships, whatever it might be. God wants to breathe new life into you today. Amen? You know, the greatest news about resurrection is this. Because of the resurrection of Jesus from the grave 2,000 years ago, we have the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life by faith in Christ. See, there's one distinguishing feature between Christianity and other world religions. What is that distinguishing feature? The distinguishing mark between Christianity and other world religions is the resurrection. See, the leaders of other religions died. They were placed in graves, and they stayed dead. They were burned to ashes, but not our leader, not our Savior. Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Amen? Amen. We serve a true living Lord. Amen? Amen? All right, so the text tonight is Romans chapter 5. The theme this month has been celebrating salvation. Celebrating salvation. And tonight's message is, while we were in sin. While we were in sin. Romans chapter 5. If you got a Bible, you can follow along. If not, I'll read it to you. Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved also through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. I want to talk tonight a little bit about the benefits of Christ's work on the cross and His resurrection. Because it took both the cross, dying for our sins, and His resurrection from the grave to receive the benefits that Paul writes about in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Number one, what is one of the benefits of Christ's work on the cross and His resurrection? He talks about it in Romans 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, justified through faith, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you became justified. It's the same way as saying you were made righteous. You were clothed with a robe of righteousness. You see, It doesn't matter what you did in your past. All the sins you did in your past, all the bad things you said and did up until the point you accepted Jesus as Savior, those things, those sins, those mess ups were forgiven and forgotten by God. See, when you said, Jesus, become my Savior, Jesus, become my Lord, you were justified. You were made righteous. The righteousness of Jesus Christ became your righteousness, not by anything that you or I could do, but by faith alone. You were clothed with a robe of righteousness, so that when God looked at you, He didn't see you according to your past mistakes. When God looked at you, He saw Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. Amen? Is that good news? So that's one of the benefits of Christ's work on the cross and His resurrection is justification. When you think of the word justified, think of this. Just as if I had never sinned. Don't let the devil torment you concerning your past. Remember when you did this? Remember when you stole? Remember when you abused this person? Remember when you drank? Remember when you abused drugs? Yada, 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 yada. Whenever those thoughts come into your mind, they're not from you. They are from the devil trying to condemn you. And when the devil tries to condemn you, you tell him, by faith in Christ, by the work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection, I have been justified. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. And he has got to go. Because he is afraid of the word of God. Tell him, I have been justified just as if I had never stolen. Just as if I had never abused that person. Just as if I had never gotten drunk. Just as if I had never used drugs. Amen? Amen. Is that good news tonight? That's one of the benefits of Christ's work. Justification. Now, he repeats the word justification further on in chapter 5. He says in verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood. The blood of Jesus covered all your past mistakes, all your past mess ups and mistakes up until the point that you accepted Christ as Savior were forgiven by God. Forgiven by God. When God saw you, He didn't see your past. He saw Jesus, His only begotten Son. Now let me read this quote to you. This is an illustration here talking about the righteousness of God in Christ. A man who claimed to be a citizen of both the U.S. and England was arrested in Brazil and tried, court-martialed, and condemned to die. The British and the American representatives did all they could to save his life, but their plans failed. And the Brazilian government said, he has violated the law, and we are going to execute him. The day came for his execution. He stood out in an open field while the soldiers of the government readied their guns. Just before execution, representatives of both the English and the U.S. government walked out and wrapped the prisoner with the English flag and with the American flag. Those two men stood back and said, if you fire on this man, you fire on the English and the American armies and the English and the American navies. He is covered with the flags of these governments. The executioners lowered their guns. Isn't that amazing? This man was covered by what? He had messed up. He had violated Brazilian law. He was covered with what? He was covered with the British and American flags so that when the Brazilians saw him with those flags, they didn't see this man. They saw the entire nation of America and England, and because of that, the man was protected. Amen? It's the same way with justification. We have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the devil knows it. He's afraid of it. When he looks at you, he sees the blood of Christ on you. But he still tries to condemn you. You have been clothed with a robe of righteousness. So just like the Brazilian government saw England and America, when God looks at you, he doesn't see your past mess ups. He sees Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. He sees the spotless and perfect Lamb of God. Is that good news? All right. Another benefit of Christ's work on the cross and His resurrection. It's in verse 1 of Romans 5. It says, we've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says later on in verse 10, he says, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? What is the other benefit of Christ's work on the cross? Number one, justification, right? Number two, Peace with God, reconciliation. Adam and Eve messed up, didn't they? God said to Adam, he said, Adam, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. The devil, the tempter, comes to the woman in Genesis 3, tempts her, she eats of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she gives some to her husband, and sin entered the world. What is sin? Sin is separation from God. It's disobedience, and it causes separation from God. If you read later on in Genesis 3, they were banished from the Garden of Eden. They were separated from God's presence. The Garden of Eden represented the presence of God. And that separation from God was passed on from generation to generation. That enmity, that separation from God. But the work that Jesus did on the cross and by his resurrection, guess what? It eliminated that separation so that we could be reconciled to God. That we could come back into friendship with God. Amen? Now think about it this way. I've used this illustration before, but it bears repeating. How many know about the 31st Bridge on Riverside? All right? The 31st Bridge here on Riverside. Okay. Let's say that, hypothetically, you're walking down the east side of Riverside, and you've got a set of friends who are on the west side of that bridge. All right? And you're communicating by cell phones. You want to fellowship with these people, long-lost friends. But they're on the west side. Happy to be walking, and you're on the east side of the bridge. And so you're communicating, and like, man, I'd like to fellowship with you. I'd like to hang out with you a little bit today. I'd like to spend some time with you today. But you're separated by the Arkansas River, right? So you communicate, and you say, well, you know what? Let me just cross over the bridge and meet you on the west side. Or they might say, let's just cross over the bridge, and we'll meet you on the east side. And so they cross over the bridge, and they meet you on the east side, and you spend the day together, and you fellowship, and you spend some friendship time with that person. That's good stuff, right? Well, that's what Jesus Christ is, friends. Jesus Christ is like that 31st bridge. We were once separated from God by a great separation, a great chasm, much bigger than the Arkansas River. But Jesus Christ was the mediator between God and man. He's the one who brings reconciliation between sinful man and a holy God. Jesus Christ is like that 31st bridge on Riverside. That's good news, isn't it? I don't want to be under God's wrath. I don't want to be separated from God. I can't imagine being separated from God for 5 minutes, let alone an eternity. But thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and his resurrection 2,000 years ago, we can now again be friends with God. What Adam and Eve lost in the garden, that fellowship, that friendship, is now regained through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Say it with me tonight. Jesus is the great bridge. He bridges the great divide between man and God. That is awesome. In Jesus' name. Amen? That's another benefit of Christ's work. Another great benefit of Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection is found here in verses 6 through 8 of Romans 5. Number one was what? What's the first benefit? Justification. Number two is what? The bridge. The bridge. Reconciliation. Friendship with God, right? Number three is God's love. The demonstration of God's awesome love. Verse 6. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, he kind of gives a logical illustration here. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he has three classifications of people in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. He has the good people. They're at the very top. Someone might dare to die for a good person who's not done anybody wrong, who has helped others. Somebody might die for that person, right? Then he has a righteous person that is right below the good person. The righteous person is the one who's been unjustly condemned. Somebody may not die for that person. Rarely will they die for them because they're putting their own life at risk if this person was unjustly condemned. So you got a good person right at the top. You got a righteous person in the middle, and then at the very bottom you have the sinner and the ungodly. And he tries to explain the magnitude, the greatness of God's love through this. He says, Christ died, yes, for the good and the righteous. But even more so than that, Christ died for the ungodly and the sinner. The good is at the top, the righteous is in the middle, the ungodly, the sinner is at the bottom. Christ died for the good and for the righteous, right? But even so much more than that, Christ died for the very ones that did not deserve it in the least. The sinners and the ungodly. And he's trying to demonstrate here, he's trying to explain here in verses 6 through 8, the magnitude, the greatness, the limitlessness of God's love. That somebody might dare to die for a good man. Somebody possibly could die for a righteous man. But nobody would want to die for a guilty man who deserves to be punished. But Christ did. That's how awesome and how great the love of God is towards us. Amen? And because of Christ's love, Christ's death on the cross, God demonstrated his love for us. Now think about it this way. Think about it this way. Think about this illustration. Let's say that your daughter has a best friend, or your son has a best friend, or somebody you love has this best friend who's stuck by your daughter's side, your son's side, their whole life. And this person needs a kidney transplant. All right? You might, if your kidney matched, you might donate that kidney, right, to your daughter's friend. You might do it. It's a stranger, you might do it, right, to save that person's life. For sure, if it was your own daughter or son and the match was made, you would for sure donate your kidney, right, because you could operate on one kidney. You would donate your kidney to save your son, your daughter, your brother, or your sister. Is that making sense? But would you donate your kidney to your enemy, the person who slandered you, the person who tried to tear apart your reputation, the person who robbed you, the person who did you wrong, insulted you, offended you? Would you donate that kidney to an enemy? You heard him up front. What did you say, sir? What did you say? You say it again? Would you donate a kidney to your worst enemy? He says no. Okay. But you know what? Christ did so much more than donate a kidney for the ungodly and the sinners, right? What did he do? He donated and gave his entire life. If that's not true love, I do not know what is. Amen? Amen. Did that illustration make sense to you? That shows the love of Jesus Christ, giving his life for the ungodly, for the enemies of God. The final benefit of Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection is what? Number one was what? Justification. Number two was?
Bridge.
The bridge, reconciliation, friendship with God, right? Different words for the same thing, bridge. Number three was what? The love of God demonstrated by the work of Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While the world was still in a state of sin, Christ died for the world. Even when you were a sinner, not having accepted Christ, Christ had already done his work for you on the cross. All you had to do was accept it. And if you have not yet accepted it, you can do so later on tonight. The final and greatest benefit of Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection is what? It's in verse 10 of Romans 5. He says this, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" What's the greatest benefit of Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection? Was what?
Being saved.
Salvation. Eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. That, friends, that is the greatest benefit of all, because it lasts forever. You may live another 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years on this earth. You may live to be 100 or 110 years old. But guess what? In comparison to eternity, 100 years is a drop in the ocean. Eternity is forever. And by what Christ did on the cross, by his resurrection, he has given us the opportunity to have the gift of eternal life in place of eternal death. And that is good news. Amen? all of us in this room tonight can have the gift of eternal life by relationship with Christ, by making Him Savior and Lord. But here's even better news. A lot of people think this way, that eternal life begins when they die physically on this earth. But did you know that eternal life begins right at the point that you accept Jesus as Savior and Lord? A lot of people think, you know what, when I die and leave this body, I will enter eternal life. I will inherit eternal life. That's true. But there's more to it. Eternal life begins for you here on this earth when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Let me prove it to you. 1 John 5. One last scripture here before we close. 1 John 5. Verse 12. He said, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Do you know what this word life is in the original language? He who has the Son has Zoe. What is Zoe? Zoe is the life of God. The life of God. Zoe is the future life which we experience in Christ right now on this earth. Zoe is the future life which we experience in Christ right now on this earth. When you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, the Zoe life of God was breathed into you. Eternal life began for you when you accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. And it continues when you leave your body physically. In other words, heaven is full of joy, right? It's full of peace. No more sorrow. Full provision. No more worry. No more fear. Guess what? You can have a taste of heaven on this earth. You can have a taste of heaven in 2011. You can have a taste of God's eternal life right now, in the here and now, today, this year, in the years to come. You can taste of God's provision. You can taste of God's joy. You can taste of God's peace right here on this earth. Because eternal life began at the point that you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. Is that good news? Could you say amen tonight? Amen. Praise God. We can experience right now today. We can start experiencing right now the eternal life that we will have forever and ever and ever when we step into eternity to be with God and with Jesus. That makes me excited. How about you?